You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our very first episode of Supernatural Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are really thrilled tonight, especially because we have a fantastic guest, Riley Martin, friend of the aliens, that is going to share with us his alien encounters, of which he's had many. Riley, he's a longtime guest on Howard Stern, and he's, he also has his own radio show. I believe it's on Tuesday nights at midnight on the Howard Stern radio program. Riley was born in 1946 to a Mississippi family of sharecroppers, and he's of African-American and Native American descent. Riley's encounters with the UFOs and aliens began one night when he was, I think he said he was about 11. We're going to ask him this tonight. That fateful night, two aliens took little Riley on his first trip to the mothership near Saturn. And the rest is history. If you've had a chance to read The Coming of Tan, Riley's book, it is fantastic. Riley talks about seven different types of aliens. Tarzisian, what else? Stygian?
Tarzisians.
Tarzisians.
They're obviously reptilian.
Reptilian.
Yes.
Yes. So, also, Riley has symbols that he draws for people that will allow you to get off of this planet and board the mothership when the time comes.
Yes, that's true. Safe passage to the planet Biave.
Yeah, Biave.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a limited amount of these symbols, of course. So, but the aliens have downloaded the images in Riley's brain. It took a little while, probably like, I don't know, what, 20 minutes or something, synapses. But Riley has made friends with aliens and shares many conversations and experiences through the books that he has written. If you would like more information about Riley, it is rileymartin.com. And we are really excited. You know,
we're excited. We're kind of winging it. So
yeah, sorry. It's our first show.
First show. We don't know what the hell we're doing, but we're trying.
Not that we will in the future either, but
that's true. That won't make much of a difference in the future.
And I am with I am Corrine DeWinter, and I am with Nino Del Padre, fabulous movie producer, and all around genius. In other news,
we have our special guest Riley. Let's try to patch him through here and see how that works. Riley, you there?
Hey, I'm here, Nino.
Hey, cool.
But Your telephone is somewhat breaking up on me a bit.
Oh, so.
Oh, well, maybe it'll get better.
Maybe. This is a new platform, so we're kind of, just trying to get through it. How you doing?
Well, I can hear you now. Okay, I'm doing okay. How you guys doing? How you doing, Corrine?
Okay, Riley. Good to hear your voice.
Well, my goodness, it's good to talk to you kids. my pleasure. I'm glad you're up and running, anyway.
Right. Thank you. And we couldn't think of a better guest as our first show than you, of course.
Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence there, my darling.
we should probably mention that Riley now has a new time slot in prime time, right? Is it 7 p.m.?
7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night.
So that's phenomenal. So he's on Howard 101.
Your phone is still giving me a little trouble.
Yeah,
but,
and that's Sirius XM?
Yeah, Sirius XM, 101, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Excellent. And you can, of course, find out more information at RileyMartin.com.
That is correct. Go to RileyMartin.com.
So,
and also, tell them to get the book, get the symbols, and what have you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we
definitely.
Just
go there. You can get the Millennium Edition of the book, and or you can get the original edition of the book, autographed if you wish it. So go to RileyMartin.com.
Yeah, and check out the audio book. It's pretty cool because it's actually in
Amazon Kindle. You can get that on your machine, if you wish.
You got all the bases covered there, Riley, huh?
yeah, definitely.
Right
and on. you can go to iTunes at Riley Martin and get my musical album.
Which
you can.
Actually.
Last Man Standing. It's 11 original songs, yes.
Wow, that is exciting. Riley, what do you think about the meteor that hit Russia?
Yes, well, there were two meteors, one much larger and one much smaller. I suspect that they went after the big one in order to change its course while they allowed the little one to get through because they can only do so much at a given time. And as we know, though some people were somewhat injured, no one was killed in this one. The same thing happened back in 1908 way up in Tunguska in Russia that was much, much larger and laid down 700 miles of trees and things of this nature. But it's good that those people in the sky somewhat changed the trajectory of the larger one, because it was just a city, country killer. You understand?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And these things I have told people, that there will be cosmic elementals that are coming into our neck of the woods henceforth, off and on, and that the people in the sky have promised that they would attempt to protect us from any cosmic forces. However, Corrine, they will not protect us from ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Well, I requested that they protect us from these thieving Republicans, but they won't do that.
Riley, what did they say when you asked that?
Well, they told me this back around May 10 of the year, that we will attempt to protect you from cosmic elementals. I said, well, what about, the mess that's going on here? They said, Friend Martin, you must master your own destiny.
Right.
We cannot directly interfere. But people get the book, and it'll tell you the whole skinny on the story.
Mm-hmm. And get your symbols, people, because...
And the symbols, yes. You go to the website, RileyMartin.com, and you'll see some of the symbols and what have you, and then you'll know more about what I'm talking about, especially if you get the book, too.
Absolutely. We're here talking to Riley Martin on Supernatural Radio Show, and if you'd like to call with your questions, the phone number is 818-369-0327. And the website is supernaturalradioshow.com. I do have a question that just came in from for you, big guy, and it says, I'd like to hear about your Bigfoot hunt and your friend question, the space beaver. and for those
well, that's...
who, yeah, not familiar, question was a curious... character that he had spent time with aboard the Great Mothership, correct?
Right. Question. You see, the avians cannot articulate. That means they can't speak with their vocal cords. They can only communicate telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
However, you are a human. And if you are among them, then you actually need to exercise your vocal cords. That's why they team me up with the Space Beaver, the reprehensible Space Beaver.
He's a real pain in the ass, huh?
Yeah, definitely, man. And I was told that his prerogative was more or less taken from my own, only he took it. You know how genteel and loving I am.
Of
he took those abrasive qualities and enhanced them. You know what I mean? But people, if you want to know about question, you got to get the book. You know?
That's right. It's all there. And,
definitely.
What's up with this Bigfoot expedition that this book is talking about?
Okay, I'll just give you a little portion of it.
Sure.
Back in 1953, I was 63, 64, 53, about 59 or 60, I believe it was.
Okay.
Anyway, I was 46. I was 11 years old, 57. Okay. We lived on a farm, and we worked for a very rich man. He had spent close to $20,000 in those days for a mixed Bramer bull that he was going to use for breeding. And this was a mean bull. He has run me a few times coming across the pasture. But he went out there, his man went out there, and that bull had been killed. His head, and he weighed out at about 1,800 pounds. His head had been turned backwards.
Oh, my God.
Right. So when he went out there, somebody told him that Mr. Martin and that boy, if it lives, they can hunt it. And so he came and got my dad and brought him out there. And we saw that bull. And I said, "What do you think did it? Did it a bear?" He said, "No, son. Wasn't a bear. So look at them corn cobs. Whatever did it, took them corn off the cob, not like a bear, and ate the meat of the corn and threw the cobs down. This bull must have surprised him. And he had to be big and fearsome to kill this bull with his bare hands. But he said, come here and look." I came over, and he said, "Look at that horn. Look at that right horn." And I saw that about 4 or 5 inches down on that horn, it was blood. Not the bull's blood, some kind of blood. And he said, "Well, whatever it was, he wounded it." Then he said, "Come over here." We came over. And he said, "Look down." And he brushed back the cobs, about the chucks. And there was a footprint there. And it had to be. Well, my daddy wore a size 10, and it had to be nearly twice as big as his foot, twice as wide.
Mm, wow.
And he said, "That's what killed him." And the man said, "Will you hunt him?" My daddy said, "Well, now, I don't know about that. It's gonna cost you. How much you want, sir? I'll give you $200. No, it's gonna cost you $500, and we're gonna need some fixings." And so he said, All right. He ran the general store anyway, and we got new boots, ammunition. He liked to load his own 12-gauge bullets, and we got some. We got some bullets for the 30-30 high powered Winchester with a scope on it. And he said, "Now you give Annabelle," that was my mother's name,
mm-hmm,
"you give her $250 right now in case we don't come back."
Oh, boy.
"Or if we don't get him." And so he said, "It's a deal." And so the next morning, mother fixed us up with some beef jerky and some butter biscuits and things like that, sandwiches and water, and we struck out to
Spent
follow it.
Right, to get the beast.
The Bigfoot.
Right.
And yeah. We struck out to get him, and we started back at that fence and followed him. and we took the mule with us. And we followed him because we figured we could drag him up wherever we shot him at with that mule, if necessary. And we went after him. Well, for several days, the first day, we got no sight of him, but we got some signs. He had broke a couple of limbs off close to 8 feet up. So second morning, he had found a wild plum thicket, and he had stopped there to eat them plums. And then he stopped around pine trees and took some of that moss and some of that pine sap, you know, sticking it up. And he had rubbed that moss in that sap and apparently stuffed it in that wound. Now, I'm told that it kills, you know, it kills the poisons and the pain and what have you. So we were getting close to it. And as it went on, is that story, did I write that story in the book?
I believe you did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I wrote it in the book, people, it's kind of a long story here.
No, right?
Riley, did you find the book?
We found it.
By the book.
On the second night, we had made a fire and were sitting around and they had shot rabbit. We was cooking him. Then something hit that fire. Boom! Spark went everywhere. And we heard his voice. And then he was crashing back through the woods.
You sure said, Frank wasn't around or what?
No, he wasn't around. And then he said, right. Son, ain't gonna be, we're going to have to put this fire out. Ain't going to be no more fire. So he's heading towards them boggy creeks. Now, we're not going to be able to follow him through that water. But I know a way on the high ridge we can get around him. And that's the way we went. And we were moving all night.
Wow.
And that way we were hoping to get ahead of him. And so we were up on a ridge. And then the dog got fidgety about 9 or 10 o'clock that morning, and old man tapped me and said, wake up. And he said, smell that. You could smell him if the wind went in your direction. You could smell it. You could smell it. You could actually smell it. And he said, wake up. He said, now, boy, I know you are a good shot. My eyes ain't good as they used to be. Now, you take that 30-30. And you tune him in if he comes out of them woods. You tune him in, wait until you get a good shot. And you hit him, center mass, then you can go for a head shot. I said,
right.
Okay, Daddy. And by and by, he came out of the woods down towards the water. Then he got down on one knee, took his hand, took a couple swallows of water. And he stood up, and he did the call again. And then I had him tuned, but then he waded off in the water, started going across the creek, and Daddy said, he talked me on the shoulder and said, hey boy, don't shoot him in that water. He'll float off down through there amongst them gators and things. We won't be able to get him.
Right.
And then I caught something out of the corner of my eye on my left side. And then I panned over that way. And up out of the woods walked what I took to be a female with mottled gray hair. And she stood above 6 feet tall.
Mm.
And he was going across. And then, lo and behold, she started waiting out to meet him. And met him about halfway out there, and he put his hand across her shoulder. And she was helping him back to the other side. And I had him tuned in. And when he did get on the other side, he was tired. And he laid down. And then he turned and looked right at me. Right at me. And he couldn't see me, I don't think. But he looked right at me, and I could seem like I could feel him talking to me.
Right.
So many generations, we have walked this land long before you came. Now you hunt me and seek to kill me. I grow weary of this danger. Go on. Do your bid. Take my life, for I grow weary of life. Go on. I said. I uncocked the rifle. I said, Daddy, let's go home. I ain't going to have God mad at me about killing one of his children.
Right.
And the most strangely, the old man did not insist. He said, well, $250, boy, ain't too bad. Let's go. And to this day, he has never held that against me. You know, my father's going on now, but he never held it against me.
Right.
But I had a chance to kill him, and I did not.
That's
I don't know. What do you think?
He got through to you, I guess. And
I guess.
I've heard many stories where people have encountered Bigfoot, and not many. Some people have encountered Bigfoot, and they had the same kind of communication, the mind communication.
I'm telling you, I heard him talking. And he was hurt. He was hurt, and he was trying to heal. And he said, go ahead, because I was here long before you came. But you hunt me. Yeah.
Sounds very good.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, still you hunt
me. I understand. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Riley, is there a link between aliens and Bigfoot?
Yes, there is. There definitely is. Aboard that great mothership. Back in 1953, I saw one. There's a lake there. There's a garden called the Hyborian Garden. And it's, I don't know, perhaps about 10 miles across. And there's a lake. And I looked across the lake one day, me and Question. And we saw him and a female and a young one walk out of the woods down to the lake. And we observed him, It was nothing really new to me, but the idea that he was up on the mothership near Saturn did kind of throw me a minute there, you know?
Yeah.
But there is a connection. I tell you that. That is true. Yeah.
Would you consider them to be aliens or, you know, of the type that you?
Well, I know that back in the history of man, or before man, there were aliens of several sorts, maroon gear. I know that archaeologists have found a huge skull. They call it Gigantopithecus.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been 10 to 11 feet tall. I know that even though we have little evidence except sightings, that apparently he was here before we inhabited this land or maybe most lands. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't understand why people wouldn't believe that there could be another creature like Bigfoot roaming around, you know?
Well, there are creatures out there. There's the Chupacabra. He's real.
Yeah.
Though I believe he may be a misguided scientific experiment or something like that that got away. But still, we have some of the alien bodies stashed away. We have some of their technologies, which to this day they are tending to try to back engineer. And so it's not surprising to me that that they would be here from time to time. Obviously, there's not a lot of them at one time because somebody would have found them, caught them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, see, that's interesting because people, that's their argument. If there is one, then why hasn't one been caught? But there is new evidence of Bigfoot DNA surfacing right now.
Darling, I lived in Arkansas back during, after slavery time, I guess. But anyway, that was absolutely... I was one of the best trackers in the world. The only person that might have been better than me was my father. And there were black panthers in those hills and in those woods. But to this day, I never saw one myself. Now, we know that there are panthers on Earth, don't we?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I never, and I am an excellent hunter, and I never saw one with my own eyes. I saw everything else. Bears, bobcats, wolves, pretty much you may name it, but never saw a panther. I saw his leavings, his tracks occasionally, but I never with my own eyes saw him. So it's easy. Do you know that 99% of the populations of the world lives on about 3% of the land? You understand?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that we haven't seen something doesn't mean that it's not there. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I could go into the woods right now, and you would not never find me till you died.
Right.
If I wanted to avoid you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big planet, I guess.
Oh yeah.
That's for sure. Really, do you know anything about this guy, this Bigelow guy that's trying to, he already has apartment-type homes in space. He's launching this first privatized space thing.
And oh.
He's like a real-world Iron Man. He's an entrepreneur. And I
didn't
know how you felt about having, companies putting up hotels.
Well, ultimately, every cognizant species that grows in technology will ultimately try to seek some way to traverse space and get away from their own planet. At one time, it was just to cross the ocean, wasn't it?
Right.
Now, we want to cross the vastness of space. But the things he's planning on doing would only be above the stratosphere at the corner of space, not on other planets. You see what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Now we have a question from someone, and they're saying that for several years they had a reoccurring dream that they were going downstairs. They were a child. They were going downstairs in their dream, what they thought was a dream, and they would enter a huge white tent, kind of like a really brightly lit circus tent. But then after that, they don't remember what happened, but this dream went on repeatedly for several years.
Tell that person that for 99.9% of all people who have ever been visited are taken up. Their memories were wiped. They do not remember it. It took them 36 years to uplink my memory. That don't mean I didn't have flashbacks and things of that nature. But it was on December 28, 1987, in the Ozark Mountains, their last visitation, when they told me, "Friend Martin, it is now time for you to remember all these things that we have taught you down through the years. Now, you have two choices. You can go with us, or you can go back and give this information." I said, "Hey, man, I didn't even finish high school. Who's going to believe me?" Yeah, you know, who's going to believe me?
Right.
He said, Friend Martin, those who have ears will hear. Those who have hearts will feel. Those who have eyes will see.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, several people down there owe me money. I might as well go back for a while."
You're damn sure.
And so I came back, and the memory started uploading. And you kids, I know you're familiar with it, but on a night in 1988, I heard something late at night. And it was announced on TV the next day that there were UFOs in the sky above Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a voice say, "Friend Martin, wake up, pick up your pen and quill these words. Mm-hmm. This is from Oqua Tenjin Wan. I'll just read you a portion, okay?
Sure.
He said, Kwa Omsa, Omsa La Ju Wan. And this is from the mouth of Oqua Tenjin Wan, the one I know best. He
Tan.
Said, yeah, Tan. He said, I have traveled far and swiftly across yon deep and leaning sky. I have witnessed a nova's burst and saw a living planet die. Across the voids of space unmeasured, O ye Omsa La Ju Wan, I have pierced the quantum's octaves, mastered hyperwarps in time. And he continues from there. All I'm saying is, these are his words, not mine. But
right.
I just wrote them down, transcribed them, you know?
And that roughly translates to all praises unto the light, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah. When he says, Kwa Umsa La Ju Wan, in their language, it means all praises unto the light, or unto the light all praises, or something like that. You know?
Right.
They based their technology. We based our mathematics and our electronics upon the color codes of light, don't we?
Yes.
These are black, brown, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, gray, and white. There are 10 greater spectrums, but there are multilinear spectrums, you know, between the greater spectrums.
Sure.
There's puce, there's light green, there's dark green, there's blue, there's navy blue, you understand, there's sky blue, there's water blue, and blah, 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 and so forth and so on, that there are multilinear spectrums.
Sure.
They believe that by deciphering all of the spectrums of light, it will lead them back to the God's head. Now, they think they might be on the right track, because even as I speak, they can run 100 times the speed of light. I know, because I've rode it with them. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's certainly technologically advanced beyond our wildest imaginations.
Certainly.
So,
there's a place in there, say, if I did not breach your status, you would surely someday breach mine, meaning that we are still advancing. In fact, we have advanced 20-fold in electronics and stuff since you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they will be have advanced 5 times more next year.
Sure.
You understand? And
sure.
So he was saying that if I didn't come to you, you would eventually come to me.
Eventually. Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, you had some type of communication with Tan, or I know you were scheduled to speak with him earlier last year regarding fate of the
20th. Yeah, December 23rd.
Is there anything you can share with us regarding
that
communication?
I had been studying the Mayan calendar. Various different persons down through history, seers and mystics and things of that nature, and I could not come to an answer. But as I got it from him, I understood this. The Mayans began to plot their heavens about 1,500 B.C. Then I learned that each and every day, not year, every day, about 100 tons of space debris, that is dust, you can't see most of it, falls to the earth, thereby growing the earth you stand on, the geomantle. You understand? And thus, the Mayans could not have known this. Therefore, since for the last 3,500 years, that schedule, December 21st, 2012, has been altered because of the geomantle of this planet. And I think, and I have now calculated that we won't be in any real trouble until about 22nd of December 2026. Yeah?
Okay,
oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's really
but
good.
Then again, I'm not a mathematician, but I know what I'm told.
Well, I was going to say, Riley, most of that dust falling down is in my apartment.
Maybe it. You know, it's so dispersed and spread out that you can't really see it, right? And just like the ionic particles are even now passing through your lovely body.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
So, mm-hmm.
So yeah, Riley, Nella was Tan's companion. I know that's what you would be.
Her name is Onisaya Wan. But
okay.
I call her Nella, and I call him Tan. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And they got their little big heads. If you guys are listening, you're likely to see a picture of Tan on the player I had uploaded.
Right. And if you get the book, you'll see all seven of the intelligent species that I know about.
That's right. And
that I have seen with my own eyes. Yeah.
That's right. And that's
now, the typical Biavian male,
mm-hmm.
the typical is about 4 feet in height. He'll weigh about, 4 feet 2. He'll weigh about 35 kilos or about 80 pounds. The head is larger in proportion with the body. The upper torso is well-formed. The arms are somewhat elongated, the fingers stretching almost down to the knees. Biavians have 4 fingers. That is a thumb and the next 3 fingers. The forefinger being a little more prominent than the second finger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The hips looks rather strong, but the legs are kind of spindly, and they move in a easily gliding type gait that they don't seem to be in a big hurry, and the little flat feet with some boots on that are strange looking, you know.
But their logo on their uniform as well, it looks like an H, correct?
Yeah, there's a logo. That's on his chest.
Yeah.
There's a 7-pointed star. On his left chest is a 7-pointed star. And in the midst of that star is a little fat H.
Mm-hmm.
On her chest, there's a 7-pointed star. No. On her chest is the fish sign. You've seen the fish sign?
Yeah.
In the midst of the fish is a little fat H. Now, he was wearing a kind of a greenish shiny suit and a silken suit, and she was wearing a blue shiny type suit, a one piece. And at the first time I seen them, they were wearing bubble helmets, but they took them off when we got on the ship, you know.
Right. Interesting. I know that you had mentioned the 7 different types of ETs. I know that what would you characterize as the most frightening or intimidating? I know that the Screed and you go way back and you've had some unpleasant experiences with
them.
Not
with the Screed, the Targzicians.
Targzicians.
The Targzicians are reptilian, obviously reptilian.
That's what I thought.
Those I don't want to play around with. I don't like them. And I did have a kind of a bad experience with them because they were trying to influence me through mind power to not reveal what I know. You see, once you know it, it can't be really taken back unless they, unless they destroy your brain or something.
Mm-hmm.
I found out.
Riley went toe to toe with one of these guys, one of these beings, a big ass lizard, if I'm not mistaken.
they're lizards. They are definitely lizards. Now they come in various different sizes. Some even have tails. Others don't.
Right.
I didn't hang out with them at all. But he didn't take me down. But they did do one thing later on. They took the last joint of my right little finger.
That's right.
I actually amputated it. Yeah, it did not bleed. And it healed up within 7 days. You won't find any doctor's certificate or nothing that I went to no hospital.
Materialized. Mm-hmm. But Tim had didn't he? He told you not to mess with these.
Yeah. When they were approaching me, he said, "Friend Martin, do not communicate. They mean you harm.
Right.
I said, well, I'm the type of guy, I want to find stuff out, man.
You need to know, right, exactly.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, right. I said, well, I got him covered. Don't worry about it. I got it. He said, Friend Martin, I advise you not to communicate with the Targs. I do not trust them. Excuse me. I said, hey, man, that's all right. And then I phased back into him. And I could actually see him in my mind. And he was trying to talk me out or tell me. Then after I said, you know, I know what I know, punk.
And so
then he said, then you could see his expression change. And then I felt something in the back of my head, something in my spine moving up towards the back of my head. And for a moment, I couldn't move. And then I thought to myself, I said, I know God is real.
Yep.
And this is a damn lizard. So I ain't going for this. You see, yeah. You see, if one of them is telepathically communicating with you, then he has to leave the gate open for himself, just like we're on the phone, right?
Right.
Then he had to pick up my thoughts back to him. And I eventually took him down and may have destroyed mine. That's what pissed him off.
Well,
yeah.
Riley used to be a bare-knuckle fighter and also whoop-ass telepathically as well. So you better not.
Yeah, I'll tell you. But that's the only time that I almost gave sway to fear, real
sure.
fear.
Sure.
But it occurred to me, when he can talk to me, I can talk to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If he can reach me, I can reach him.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he couldn't stand what I was putting on him. You see? But me, you're right. But now, me, I've been watching monster movies all my life.
Right.
Everything from Frankenstein, everything. So him trying to scare me with monsters or something didn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
But him, awesome. He wasn't immune to it.
Right.
You're
7-foot lizard.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, right. And so I heard Tan say, Friend, and he said himself 3 times, release me.
That's right.
Release me.
Right.
Yeah. I said, no, you bastard, I got you now. And Tan said, Friend Martin, I implore you, release him. I said, no, I ain't. I'm taking him out. Right. And so for that reason, they came and took my finger.
Yeah. Now, you taught him a lesson, though, that's for sure.
Well, definitely. They ain't tried it, never tried it again.
They didn't know who they were messing with.
Yeah, no
shit. Yeah, right. Well, I'm the type of guy. I mean, you know, I didn't go around bullying or anything, but I do not take threats. You understand? I do not respond to threats.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, from no man nor beast.
That's right.
Right.
Riley, can I ask you? Can you converse with the dead, and can the aliens converse with the dead? I mean, the dead.
Me and my mother were the only two in the family who could actually see disembodied spirits from time to time.
Mm.
And if I have a friend who someone he loves has gone on before, on occasion I will attempt to reach that spirit, but it's not easy. So I don't build myself as your psychic friend or nothing. You know.
Right. I know.
Yeah, dig it. But as a friend, I do try to look out for people and relay messages to them at times, but that's a rarity and what have you. But yes, I could all. Since you know, in the latter years, I have not actually been able to see them like I used to when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Again, we're here at Supernatural Radio Show talking to Riley Martin. You could call in at 818-369-0327 with your questions.
Right. Now tell them to go to Riley Martin, R-I-L-E-Y, Martin.com.
That's
and
right.
get your books, get your symbols, and what have you.
Variety of great merchandise on there, including this, as Riley mentioned, the symbols,
right.
Some videos, your CD. There's quite a bit of stuff up there for people to explore.
Definitely, definitely. And mm-hmm. No two symbols are ever the same.
Right.
Of all of the 144,000 I eventually have to do, no two are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else on earth will have your symbol.
That's right. And if you go to RileyMartin.com, there's a nice gallery of some samples there that people
right.
check out the beauty and intricate nature of them, the symbols.
And again,
right,
I'm sorry, Riley. If anyone wants to call in and ask a question, the number is 818-369-0327. I'm sorry, Riley. Go ahead. I apologize.
Right. No. Oh, my goodness. Forgive me. What was I going to say?
Oh, we're just talking about the show and the site.
RileyMartin.com. Get your symbol. You can also get the Amazon Kindle book there cheaper, and you can also go to iTunes at Riley Martin and get my original album. And pretty soon, I believe, Nino, I'll have the Cosmic Legend up and running.
Yeah. I just received
that is the video. Yeah, that is a CD, DVD of me doing a lecture down in Atlanta for some beautiful people. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. Riley, if we wanted to meet aliens, which I don't, I'm really scared, but I mean, if somebody wanted to contact an alien, what is the best way to go about doing that?
Hmm. Well, my darling, there is no set instructions. They have been picking people up from here since the time of Abraham, Enoch, Lot. Do you understand? Since the time of ancient Sumeria, Egypt, etc.
Right.
However, 99.9% of the people will not be able to recall the experiences they have.
Right.
For the most part, the aliens are not trying to harm them, I don't think, because they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Exactly.
Now, the ones I know are very loving and benign, the main ones who are my friends. But that does not mean that there may not be some untoward aliens out there. However, I do know this. Of all the 39 species that visit this planet from time to time, none are permitted to harm you.
Mm.
Because you are a sentient, intelligent species. If we let somebody with a bigger gun than you have come around killing you and your cities and everything else, then there'd be open season on all weaker planets throughout the galaxy, wouldn't it? So this cannot be. This cannot be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy, they can observe. They can even take you up and examine you and things of that nature from time to time. Because the Biobians believe that you are kindred of theirs, having some of your blood in their line, in their chronogenesis, having some of their genetics from since time immemorial. You see, we went from hunter-gatherers that did not build villages and stuff to following the herds up and down the Fertile Crescent. All of a sudden, we're building pyramids and cities and plotting the stars and medicine, animal husbandry, irrigation, and things of that nature. You understand?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
There is no interim between and what have you. All of a sudden, we came to be and were removed from the animal elemental because now we are Homo sapien bipedi erectors, in apparently somewhat intelligent creatures, you know?
Nope. Yeah, supposedly.
yeah, right.
Riley's got some actual photographs of UFO.
Yeah.
You snapped.
Right. This was on December 28,
1987. Yeah.
I took four photographs, daylight photographs of low-flying UFOs coming over my car, knocking out the motor. They went around to my right and back over the Ozark Mountains and went around. And after a while, they buzzed back over and stopped right above me, and I could see the undercarriage. I could even draw it for you.
Hmm.
And they said, "Friend Martin, we have returned." And then they took. I was hit with a light, a blue-white light. Next thing I know, I'm in the decontamination room aboard that ship. And I said,
yeah.
"I know you guys. Yeah, I know you guys, you know." But next thing I know, I'm back in the car. The radio say, and now it's like 2:30, but the clock said it was like 11.
Hmm.
And so then I was saying, what happened? Am I crazy? Am I skip tracing here? Then I looked down on the seat. And I saw the photographs, clear as day. I said, I got you now, you bastard.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
People, you got to see these pictures. They're at RileyMartin.com. Go to About and check them out. They're Polaroids, and they're definitely really amazing.
Man, that does sound totally interesting. Riley,
can I ask?
You know what Atlantis supposedly was. Did it really exist, do you think?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, my darling. It was on a volcanic island, roughly 100 nautical miles north of what we now call Libya in Tripoli, out in the Mediterranean.
Hmm.
But of course they migrated from there to various other places around the planet, generally around the equatorial areas of the world. But their offspring, such as Sodom and Gomorrah and all that, their offspring was getting the knowledge, and ultimately they were thinking, let's go back and take the big stuff, you know, the technology and all of this, and they were building armies to do so. So that therein they sunk the island, which caused the Great Flood. Okay?
Okay. And, Riley, just as an aside, did we really land on the moon?
Oh, yes, we did, my dear.
Okay.
Yes, we did, my dear.
There's been a lot of
things. They fake a lot of things. But, yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
on the moon, there are leavings of ancient cities and various other elementals. There were ships that paced the astronauts when they landed and stood off and looked at them. And whatever, we didn't just go to the moon to get some rocks, baby.
Yeah.
We went to the moon to see if we could find some of the leftover technologies and things of that nature. You see what I mean?
Right, wow. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are unfortunately about out of time, and I just like to, we really need to do longer shows.
Otherwise. It's my pleasure. I was glad to do your show. Maybe we can get together sometime in the future.
Well, mm-hmm. We would love to have you back on, and I really appreciate your time because I know the fans love hearing you.
And now I love you even more. I love you even more now, Riley, because you didn't shoot Bigfoot.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
My goodness. I was never one. My father always told me, son, don't shoot no animals. You're not going to eat. I've never been an American sportsman to go out and just shoot stuff to get his head.
Exactly.
And, you know what I'm talking about. So,
exactly.
So that's about the size of that. If we needed a deer meat or rabbits or something, I would go and take one. and right. Several, if I had, you know, rabbits, because we were a big family, I had to kill about four. But still, we'd eat them.
Sure, sure.
And because we needed to eat them, we were poor people.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's
remind people once again to visit RileyMartin.com to check out the Coming of Tan and to get your symbol.
Yeah.
And our site is SupernaturalRadioShow.com, and certainly you could go there to listen to archived shows of our past shows and things of that nature. So once again, Riley, I guess, we have to wrap this, so we want to thank
you.
And,
right. And it's been my pleasure. And you all take care. And thanks for letting me in. And see if you can get a phone that you can actually talk through.
Yeah, that'll help. We'll get all the fuck out next time, brother.
Okay.
Hey, take it easy, Riley.
Thanks.
Okay, take care, my darling. Y'all take care. Yeah.
You
all right,
too.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That was interesting.